ba 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 da do da do da da do da do da do new theme song da 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 da. No, it's not.
Oh, I would love for that to be our new theme song.
Oh, you wish. Oh, so what a week.
Dude, like, what a day, a week, a month, and even a year.
Woohoo! It has been just nutty. I just realized I'm not hearing myself in my own earballs. Uh-oh. What's going on
Your
here?
Earballs.
There we go. Oh, now I can hear myself.
There we go. But yeah, it's been.
I love hearing the sound of my own voice.
Right. But yeah, it's been nuts. It's been crazy. But on the good news, the space shuttle went off without a hitch.
It sure did. Although I have a conspiracy about it.
Oh, is that what you're talking about today?
No.
Oh.
But
I was getting really excited. Oh God, current events. But
no, sadly. But oh my gosh, for those of you who caught it, like how does it cut out? How does the camera feed? You've had it going for so long, and the camera feed cuts out just as the Falcon 9 lands back, or the booster thing lands back on the booster pad. Like, and then suddenly it's there. It was like about to come down, and then the camera signal goes out, and then the next thing we know, it's landed. They're like, oh yay, it landed. I'm like, but did it? Did we see the body? Is there a body? If there's no body, it's still alive.
I don't want to even think about that. Oh God.
So it's another man on the moon situation.
Yeah.
But so at least, you know, we know they dropped the rocket booster.
True.
Thing.
That's true. But
although we know that's all math now, it just all goes back where it's supposed to. But yeah,
it was cool to watch. Though. And it's cool to know that they made it there safely, that they docked and they got on the station just fine. So it's like that's some much needed positivity on our news feeds, you know.
Very much so.
It was very cool to watch, and especially since that's the first like space launch we've had in since 2011, right?
First space launch from American soil since 2009 or 2011.
I thought it was 11.
One of those.
Either way, it's been
9 years. Yeah, it's been 9 years since 2011. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
So it's super cool. You know, that was history in the making right there, and that was super neat.
Very cool. Plus, they had cool spacesuits. And did you guys see the gravity detector?
Mm-hmm.
The sparkly dinosaur.
Yeah.
I love that the astronaut was reaching over and like trying to lift it up. Lift.
It was so neat. Oh, just
so cute.
Super, super cool. But yeah, so what's new with you?
Let's see. Well, I got a new bed finally. Hey,
finally.
We were talking about that recently. I still haven't done that.
I still need to get a new bed.
Getting a super awesome one.
But
yeah.
I got, instead of getting a new bed, I got a cat wheel for my cats. One of those, like, nice. It's like a giant hamster wheel, but for cats. I just ordered it yesterday. So hopefully it'll be here like sometime this week or maybe next week. But, I've got two cats. For those of you who don't know, I've got two cats and they're both very energetic, but the male cat, his name is Dean. He is a heaping ball of energy because he is part Bengal. So he's a very big cat. He's like 15, 16 pounds of pure muscle and he's just got so much energy. So I'm really hoping that this, cat wheel, first of all, that they'll take to it.
I think he'll love playing with the box.
Yeah, and then he'll probably the box, yeah. But it's like, I'm hoping they'll take to the wheel and that it'll help them burn off some of that extra energy. So
yeah,
but
I hope so too.
Bed is next on my purchase list.
Yay! Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, it was so great. Although it was quite an adventure to get it because...
Right.
Oh my gosh. It was like out for delivery and then it went back, out for delivery and then went back. And yeah, I ended up having to go to the fulfillment center to go pick it up because I was like, I'm not doing this. I'm not sleeping on the floor.
How did you fit it in your tiny car?
Well, because it was all like it's all rolled up in a box
still.
And stuff. But yeah, it fit and we brought it home and stuff. I had to wait for like the actual frame to come. But yeah, it was I'm just so glad to have it. It's been a dream. I can spread out. I went from I've been sleeping in since I was 13 to a king. Your queen got a king bed. So, I've been very happy with that this week. Although, like, I mean, it's been thankfully because of, you know, the extremely stressful current events going on. Mm-hmm. And our hearts are with everyone. And, but we are here for positivity. We do have an announcement, though. Will be the last episode of the season. I know we promised you one more. But some events happened. As you guys, some of you guys know that I work for a TV station. I do work for CBS Viacom. And I was not one of the people who was laid off, but a lot of my coworkers were. And it is heartbreaking and very sad. But my hearts are absolutely with them. But it means a lot more work for me. So sadly, I don't have a whole lot of free time for this. Sammy is going to take over for after the hiatus for a little bit. But I'll be in and out and I can still answer questions and I'm still going to be, you know, involved and stuff. But just wanted to announce that with you guys and that I'm still with you. My heart is with you. And thank you so much for following us and for your support. And, you know, be patient with us, be patient with the media. And we love you. And let's have a good, positive rest of the year.
Yes.
So,
but yeah, so this will be the last episode for the season. We will be back after this episode. We will be back in July, right? No, August. Because we take July off. Yes. So this episode comes out tomorrow, which is June 1st. Yes. And then we will be back August 1st. At least for a little while, it'll be just me. I'm going to be looking into getting some like guest people to come in and, you know, fill Tess's shoes occasionally. They're sparkly shoes that they'll have to fit into. But yeah, just be patient with us. We're going to keep putting out content for you guys because, you know, we love you guys and all the support you give. So we don't want to let you down. So, but we'll still be available on our Facebook page and in our group, The Crypt, which actually we just changed our Patreon tiers to make The Crypt a little bit more accessible.
We did.
It's at, what is it? The $5 tier now, I think.
Yes, I believe so.
So, yeah. So we rearranged our Patreon tiers. So The Crypt is a $5 donation, like $5 a month donation. And then you'll get to be part of our secret Facebook group where you can actually like directly interact with me and Tessa and our other patrons. And, you know, we have a lot of fun in there. It's just a lot of conspiracy and cryptid memes and just fun stories and stuff. So that'll be a way if you want to keep in touch with Tess while she's on her little break, that'd be a great
Absolutely.
Way to do
and
it.
And I would love to hear from you guys. You guys keep me going. So, and I love your creativity. So please keep sending us art too. I love art.
Oh yes. We've been loving the art. And once again, just the interaction from you guys, like we've been getting emails and, you know, like messages on Facebook and stuff. And it's just been so awesome. We've really enjoyed hearing from you all. So we just want to thank you for that. But.
And with that, I feel like this is a very long intro, but now it's time to flip a penny for our thoughts.
It's your turn.
It's my turn. Mm-hmm. Ah, shaky, shaky. And for those of you guys who don't know, this has been the swap of season. Sammy's been covering my conspiracies. I've been covering his cryptids, and it's been a lot of fun. But now is our swap episode. We did 10 episodes. So we're swapping it back. So I get to be back in my home turf, and I get to do a conspiracy, and Sammy gets to do a cryptid. Yep. So I'm going to shake it, shake it. And I'm going to say tails. It's heads. Sammy goes first.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Always first with me. Okay.
Always. Always.
Always the coin first knows. With me. It just, I guess. So I really liked what you did last episode where you took one of our fan suggestions like mm-hmm. that. I was living for that. That was just
Yay!
Absolutely
it was so
awesome.
Much fun. Thank you so much.
And I really enjoy that you did that. So I decided to do the same this week.
Oh, cool.
So this suggestion came to our email from one of our listeners named Skylar. They wrote us a big email with a bunch of sources as well as their own personal story. So they did like all the hard work for me.
Oh my gosh, Sammy, of course. The way to do all the work for him. Gosh.
I mean, I did some of my own research as well, but it was like they put together like a full like
cool.
email of like sources and websites to go look at. And I was like, this is really cool. So this is an Oregon cryptid.
Me too.
And once again, I just wanted to say thank you to Skylar for sending us this email. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Skylar.
So this one is, it's a bit more of like a classic ghost story or campfire tale, but it can kind of be a cryptid since it's got reported sightings of him.
Ooh.
So it may not be like a traditional cryptid, but it's still fun. And this is our podcast, so I'm going to do what I want. So,
yeah.
And, you know, besides, I get kind of sick and tired of talking about all the Bigfoot
and sea creatures. And, I know, that's what I read monsters. Into.
So, because there's just so many, like, and they're always the same. It's always like, well, maybe it's a Bigfoot, maybe it's a monkey, maybe it's a bear, or maybe it's a sea otter, or maybe it's a plesiosaur. So it's like,
exactly. There's a Bigfoot or a sea serpent in every language.
Yeah. So it's like, I love my plesiosaurs. I really do. Y'all know that. Y'all know Sammy loves his dinosaurs and his plesiosaurs, but I wanted something else to talk about. So I might occasionally dip into urban legends, ghost stories, stuff like that, just to kind of
love it.
Give us Please some do. Content that we can still talk about. But so legend has it that back in the 40s or 50s in Cannon Beach, Oregon, a local logger was seriously injured and cut up from an on-the-job accident at a sawmill. Paramedics that arrived on the scene bandaged him up from head to toe as quickly as they could on the spot and then took him away in an ambulance. On the way to the hospital, however, they were hit by a landslide, and both paramedics were killed instantly. However, the bandage...
terrible luck.
Right? However, the bandage man's body was completely missing from the wreckage, and no one knows what happened to him.
Oh.
He's known to it, but he's been seen over the years, since the 40s and 50s.
Oh, still wearing his bandages?
Still wearing his bandages.
Does he change them?
No, apparently not, because I'll get to that.
That's very unhygienic.
It really is. So
he must be infected.
He's known to attack slow-moving or parked cars along a stretch of road between Cannon Beach, Oregon, and where Highway 26 intersects with Highway 101.
Oh,
so
okay.
And as Californians, we're very familiar with Highway 101.
Very familiar with Highway 101.
It's a coastal highway, right?
It's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the one that runs all the way. It's like, if you have no problem with car sickness, it's a beautiful drive.
I took the 101 from Monterey down to Los Angeles before on accident, mm-hmm. actually.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful drive, but it's easy to take on accident. Yep, yeah.
It's very gorgeous. But yeah, and that also explains the landslides, though, you know, or the landslide for the ambulance, because it's a coastal highway and it's like right on the cliffs. So
it happens all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. So a description of what this creature is, and it's known as Bandage Man, by the way.
Bandage Man.
I forgot to mention that, but it's known as Bandage Man. Bandage Man is covered head to toe in bandages. The bandages are very bloody, and Bandage Man smells like rotting flesh. So that is very evident that he does not change his bandages.
Ew.
He stinks. He stinks real bad.
Stinks to high heaven.
So I only have two sightings, with one of them being from our listener, Skylar. Mm. I know. So we've got a listener story today. So it's even better. But a lot of what I could find through the combined research of myself and Skylar was just a lot of stories with no real dates. So I'm just going to go through what I could find and then finish with Skylar's story. So the main tale that's passed around is from the 1960s. I have, you know, no real date, just that it was in the 60s. One night, two of the local kids were up on, like, parked on the highway doing just what teenage boys and girls do when they're parked on a long or a dark, lonely road. So it's kind of a lover's lane sort of story. Apparently that's like, that stretch of highway is Cannon Beach's lover's lane. So
okay,
just keep that in mind.
I see.
So the boy had an old Chevy pickup, and his girl and he were sitting in the cab. All of a sudden, they felt the truck sort of lean, like something was moving around in the bed. They turned to look out the rear window, and there looking back at them was a bandaged face with only some weird eyes looking out from the eye holes in the bandages. So, like, creepy eyes were staring back at them from, like, a bandaged face pressed up against the glass window of the pickup truck.
Creepy. Creepy.
Yeah. The bandaged figure started beating on the glass and the top of the cab. The kid started the engine, got it in gear, and tore out of there with his girlfriend screaming in terror as the man in the back continued pounding. So it's like he's still in the bed of the truck.
Ah!
pounding on it.
No, yeah. Jeepers creepers. Ah,
I know. Just that's a big nope for me.
Nope.
Anybody who's been to Bandage Man Road or Cannon Beach know how curvy the roads are, and to drive at them at high speeds is dangerous. But once again, the 101 is extremely curvy because it literally,
very, very curvy.
It literally hugs the coast. Like, it hugs the coastline up on the cliff. So it's winding in and out and up and down, and driving more than like 30 miles an hour is extremely dangerous and frowned upon.
Extremely dangerous.
I'm pretty sure the speed limit on most of 101 is like 30 miles an hour, 25 or 30 miles an hour. It's very slow.
It'll take you all day to drive top to bottom. Yeah.
Well, trust me, to go from Monterey down to Los Angeles, which is normally about like a 5-hour drive.
Yeah.
It took us like 10 hours to get there.
Yep.
Because it's like, you're driving for an hour and you've gone like 20 miles.
Yep.
And it's, it took forever. It was beautiful, but it took forever. So
very windy roads.
And there's like no exits to get off of it to go back to like the main highway, to like 99 or the one or anything, or the five. I mean, you know, it's like we were finally able to do it, but we had to go up through like this tiny like mountain pass road.
Oh, yeah. You have to go down to like Santa Barbara or Monterey. San Luis Obispo.
Yeah.
To get back
we were
over
like
to
down
five.
Near San Luis Obispo or something like that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we had to go up through like this tiny winding mountain pass that was like, I think like a one lane road with like half of it being dirt to get back to the five.
Oh, God. Oh,
it was
no.
awful.
Oh, no. Oh. But you did it. You made it. You survived.
We were in a caravan, too, because it was like...
Oh, no.
Okay,
So one of you is lost. All of you are lost.
So this was like... I'm sorry. I've gotten way off topic, it's a fun story.
Really,
but it was like me and three other friends, we were stationed in Monterey, California, and we were driving down to Disneyland. And I had, at the time, a Ford Ranger, which was a two-seater. And my buddy had a DeLorean, which is a two-seater. So it's like, and there were four of us. So we had to caravan down there. And those were the only vehicles we had because our two passengers didn't have their own vehicles. So we had to caravan down to Los Angeles and we accidentally ended up on the 101 and we weren't able to get off it until like, I think it was probably closer to like Bakersfield.
Oh my gosh. See, people who accidentally end up on highways, this is why I don't travel with you.
I mean, I haven't had this problem in years, but... But yeah, so we finally did. But yeah, caravanning a gray Ford Ranger and a gray DeLorean up in the mountains, just driving through California, trying desperately to get to Disneyland. And we
trying not to fall in the ocean.
And we finally got there like an hour before the park closed.
Oh, my God. Oh, what an adventure.
It was something.
Anyway, Bandage Man.
Anyway, so they... They continued down Highway 101, like speeding down this road. And after what seemed like an eternity, they made it to downtown Cannon Beach, where the boy's family owned a service station. And then they lived next door to it. So like his family lived next door to the service station that they own. Once they got there, they looked in the back and the bandaged man was nowhere to be seen. So he was gone. Somehow he just managed to like jump out of a speeding like pickup truck. On the 101 and vanished. Yeah. And that's the end of that story.
Into the ocean.
Possibly.
Possibly.
Or.
But clearly not since he showed up again.
Or maybe he was never there to begin with.
Oh.
And I will get to that when I get to my explanations.
Oh, my.
So anyway, so now we're getting to our listener story. So Skylar said, in their senior year of high school back in 2008, my friends and I took a trip to the beach to celebrate our upcoming graduation. Our parents even let us stay out past curfew since most of us were already 18. Although we were lectured about driving safe and avoiding substance use. We were all really good kids and would have done fine without the reminder. I was the class valedictorian and the president of our local Students Against Destructive Decisions, or the SADD Club. So they were responsible teenagers.
Good kids,
which I was a responsible teenager when I was in high school too.
I was too.
So
I don't know what happened.
So Skylar goes on to say, I was driving back from the coast to Portland on Highway 26 late at night with a car full of my teenage friends. Most of my friends were starting to fall asleep. It was just past 11 at night. We were about to pass the exit for Mist, Oregon, near Elsie, when I heard a noise that I will never forget as long as I live. It was a bellow, but louder than I have ever heard a human being make. It sounded like the entity making the noise was all around us at the same time. My sleeping friends all snapped to attention, and we all stared at each other in confusion. Was someone on the roof of the car? Would we be able to hear the person this loudly over the noise of the engine and the air rushing by, even if they were? The sound had an almost metallic echoing effect that it felt, or that is hard to describe. The yelling lasted about 15 seconds, which felt much longer. I slowed the car down, but didn't want to stop because I was scared, and we were just a bunch of teen girls. It did not sound like the sound was getting more distant during the time we were moving, either. The yell maintained a constant volume until it stopped suddenly. To this day, the friends I'm still in touch with from that group will still discuss the sound whenever we get together. None of us have any idea what could have been. Sounded more human than anything, definitely not a cougar, elk, or bear. But there was something oddly unsettlingly non-human about the sound. I also want to note that the car we were in, or that we were in a car, not a pickup, and we were crammed snugly in there. There were no empty seats, and my small trunk was full of our stuff. Did we hear Bandage Man yelling in frustration because there was no room for him to hitch a ride with us? We will never know.
Oh my God.
So it's a potential Bandage Man.
Oh my God. Interaction. That's so creepy.
Right?
Oh my God.
So yeah. So explanation is as to what Bandage Man is. One explanation is that it's just an urban legend told to keep kids from, you know, misbehaving out on Lover's Lane, which there are plenty of those out there. It seems like almost every state has their own version of a Lover's Lane, you know, mystery. You know, you've got like the hook-handed man. Back in South Dakota in Sioux Falls, we had Spook Road, you know, which was a big one. I need to tell stories about Spook Road at some point. That was fun.
Ooh.
I used to be like a local tour guide for Spook Road. I took people out there all the time. So another explanation is that it's potentially a hoax created and propagated by local teenagers. Apparently, numerous locals remember one awful but hilarious prank that involved the wrapped up legend. A group of teens were sitting in the back of a pickup truck being driven by a friend, and they convinced him to suddenly stop. They got out and had another friend hop in the back who was dressed up in mummy-like attire, and everybody began screaming, "It's the Bandage Man! It's Bandage Man!" Didn't take long for the driver to notice the apparition in the bed of his pickup, and it took even less time for him to peel out, speeding around the area and trying his best to knock the Bandage Man wannabe out of the back. So there have been pranks that have
Makes
been pulled
sense.
Over the years. That's just one of them, but there have apparently been handfuls of them. So some people just
that makes sense.
Yeah. Some people just think that it started out as like a ghost story legend and, you know, teen pranks have kept it alive over the years. And then the last explanation is that it's possibly the ghost of a logger who died from his horrible injuries after a sawmill incident. Because that is a big logging community up there.
That's true.
There are plenty of sawmills and accidents do happen. So, and maybe this is the ghost of somebody who died from his injuries.
Yeah.
Out to get revenge on teens snogging in the woods.
How dare you? How dare you snog? How dare you snog near my logs?
A snog log.
Yeah, okay. Hey now. Sammy.
I know. But yeah, so that's my kind of cryptid for this week. I love spooky ghost stories and urban legends a lot. In fact, when I was a senior in high school back in 2005, we had like an English class assignment to write a term paper, like a college style term paper. Mm-hmm. And mine was titled Urban Legends Facts or Fiction or Fact
love
or
it.
Fiction. Basically, in my term paper, I talked about six different urban legends, two of which were true, two that were fiction, and two that were undetermined. So when I get to learn about a new urban legend, I just kind of get really giddy and excited. So, and the fact that this one keeps getting seen over the years and adds to a cryptid vibe, it adds so many of the things that I love all into one package, and I love it. So big thank you to Skylar for reaching out to us.
Thank you, Skylar.
Your email meant a lot to me. And the fact that you got back to me, like, because I reached out to them, you know, just to, like, make sure that it was okay to use it in an episode and, you know, make sure that I got, like, their preferred pronouns and everything. And they got back to me super quick. So just thank you for being quick about getting back to me. And thank you for helping to normalize pronouns. So
Yay. Well, cool. Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, I will do my conspiracy. And I'm very, very excited.
I'm excited.
Okay, so it's my turn. So despite this being a podcast, I actually picked a rather visual topic this time. But you guys are just going to have to rely on the fact that these things actually happen because there's kind of copyright rules anyway. So it's kind of going to be kind of even difficult to post pictures, although I've seen other articles post pictures. So I think as long as I credit the creators, then this will be it'll be OK to post some examples. But okay. You can find episodes of this show anywhere. Not this show, but the show I'm going to discuss. You guys are pretty resourceful, so I want to make sure I mention like some specific episodes so that you can look them up if you want to.
Right.
And then there's another conspiracy about it at the very end that I'm going to touch on that could answer some of this. But it could open a much larger can of worms. So I'm going to touch on it very lightly and very delicately because I also don't want to be sued for libel.
Right. Nope, you don't want that.
I have always been a storyteller. It's what I want to be when I grow up. No matter what, no matter how, I want to tell stories. And that first became apparent when I was a little kid and I would just regurgitate episodes of TV and movies to my mom. Like, my poor mom, I would have an almost like photographic memory for movie lines. And sometimes we would leave the theater and I would practically recite my favorite parts back to her almost word for word, which would be almost the entire movie in the car on the way home. So it was, and then they said this, and then they said this, and then they said this. And it's like, my mom saw the exact same movie I did, but it was important to me. Right. So, but the show that I did this the most often with though, was The Simpsons.
Okay. Okay, go. I'm so excited. Yes.
She would so patiently listen to me regale The Simpsons back to her, although there was a point when she was like, I think you need to stop watching the show. But right after school, before dinner, after homework, two one-half-hour episodes back to back. It inspired an interest in voiceover work for me, though I don't do any now. But seeing the actors speak in their normal voices showed me that most characters really aren't that far off from the actor's actual voice, mm-hmm. most of whom don't actually find their voice that unique. For example, like, you know, you say to somebody, like, what accent?
Right.
Like, I love your accent. Like, what accent? I don't. There's nothing special about my voice, you know?
Yeah.
Because I've been watching a lot of voiceover actors in my time in quarantine talk about how they do their voices. So,
right.
Super cool, though. But before we get to the conspiracy, though, about The Simpsons, it's obviously The Simpsons have predicted a lot of things over the years, right, that have ultimately come true. So we're going to talk about some of those things. But before we get to the conspiracy, let's talk about a little history about The Simpsons. The first episode aired in 1989 as an American animated sitcom created by Matt Groening for the Fox Broadcasting System, our company. The epitomized American family, Homer, Marge, Bart, Lisa, and Maggie, plus Snowball the Black Cat and Santa's Little Helper, the retired racing greyhound. Mm-hmm. It's set in the fictional town of Springfield. No one knows which state they're actually in. In fact, the movie makes fun of this joke with Flanders' comment plopping the city down in the middle of four states that don't even touch. Nevada, Ohio, Maine, and Kentucky. The show is currently in its 31st season with over 600 episodes and still making new ones, although there has been a lot of complaints over the quality over the years, and though it will likely never die because look at the plot. I mean, it's about the American family, and until America crumbles completely, there will always be material for Homer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And also, I wondered, why are The Simpsons yellow, right? Because there's like, you know, we've seen cartoons with, you know, Family Guy has people with, you know,
normal skin
tone, more beige skin tone, right? Or, you know, but and The Simpsons does have characters that aren't necessarily yellow.
True.
But I wondered why. So apparently Groening really wanted the characters to stand out. He said that, so basically televisions use a red, green, blue color wheel rather than the standard like primary color wheel that we know, red, yellow, blue.
Yes.
With the RGB scale, yellow and blue are complementary colors. That's why characters like SpongeBob, SpongeBob's yellow. Yes. He stands out.
Yeah.
So well against that blue background. So yellow is the most visible color in the entire visual spectrum because of how the cones in our eyes process light.
Right.
And, and the order, like the signals for red, green, blue to reach our brain. So it actually stands out more than red typically would.
Right.
That's why taxis are yellow.
Right. Yeah.
So the series has also won 34 Primetime Emmy Awards, 34 Annie Awards, which if you don't win an Annie and know what an Annie Award is, it's pretty self-explanatory. Annie, short for animation, and a Peabody Award.
Mm-hmm.
And they've also accurately predicted the future at least 30 times.
I know.
That's just what people have caught.
I know.
That's just what people have caught.
It's
We're not
going to
talk about
nuts.
All 30 times.
It's absolutely nuts. They even like touched on the Berenstain Bear thing at one
exactly,
point.
Exactly.
Exactly.
They have done so many things. But why were Groening and his writers right so many times and so many decades in advance? Because in some of these, the predictions are like 20 years in advance. I'm going to talk about, I think, five or so examples and then a couple of little ones kind of toward the end. They're going to be fairly quick. And also, like I said, you have to trust me that these happen. The first one I'm going to talk about is the Donald Trump presidency.
Yep.
The episode is season 11, episode 17, in the episode Bart to the Future. The Simpsons take a peek into the future and see Lisa, now president of the United States, inheriting quite the budget crunch from President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So it was originally apparently supposed to be a reference to Trump attempting to run as a Reform Party candidate, but obviously gained a lot more attention and weight when Trump was elected in 2016.
Right.
The show even responded by changing the opening gag of Bart writing on the chalkboard to being right sucks a week after the election. And the original the original prediction in the Lisa episode happened in the year 2000, 16 years before he was elected.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. Like, they already, So then they were like, yeah, being right sucks, 15, 16 years later. However, there is one about this thing that I did see circulate that I wanted to debunk. There is a falsehood remember that it also circulated at the same time that it even predicted down to Trump's announcement from an escalator that he would be running for president.
Yes.
You've seen like the Simpsons style photo of that.
Yeah.
That's fake. Somebody made
really?
That.
Oh, really?
So, that
was a very convincing fake.
Yeah. Right. Somebody's a very good that Granny should hire that,
that artist,
animator.
Right.
So then the next one I'm going to talk about is Mutant Tomatoes. This one's actually my favorite episode. Again, season 11, episode 5, E-I-E-I Doe.
Oh.
Homer starts, he attempts farming. He's like, I'm going to give farming a shot, which leads to him to produce Tomaco, which is tomato tobacco hybrid after he borrowed some materials from his day job at the plant, which changes depending on what episode you're watching.
Right.
He actually predicted Mutant Tomatoes. In 2013, 13 years after this episode, satire became reality when fruits and vegetables near the Fukushima nuclear plant turned into hybridized horrors. Because the Fukushima disaster was the worst nuclear event we had seen since Chernobyl.
Right.
I've actually got some pictures of what the tomatoes around the area turned into.
Oh, I'm excited to see this. I think I vaguely remember that happening.
Yeah, it's so gross.
I do remember that. It's so creepy looking.
I am currently growing tomatoes right now in the backyard, and I cannot wait to eat them. I basically have a bruschetta or a caprese garden in the backyard right now.
Nice.
And minus the mozzarella, I got to go pick that up. But I've got, you know, basil and tomatoes and stuff. But oh my gosh, so red dragonflies eat moths, and I've had a little bit of a nibbling problem, which means I've got moths.
Right.
Or like the caterpillars are eating them.
Yeah.
And yesterday all day when I turned off my phone because I desperately wanted to take a picture of this, which I could have gotten on my camera, but I'm lazy, there was a red dragonfly hanging out there. Must have been having a good all you can eat buffet. You eat up, you do you, boo.
Right.
Then I went out there this morning. He had two more friends out there, so there were three red dragonflies out in my garden just taking care of business. And
nice.
I was like, you guys just eat up.
That is awesome. Dragonflies are so cool. They're some of my favorite bugs.
They really are.
I don't like
really
many
are.
Bugs, but dragonflies are definitely on the list of favorites.
They can get in my face. I don't care.
Yep.
They're, you know, although I had one recently get like real close and I wasn't expecting it. And it was like
jarring. Like, yeah, that's different. But
jarring.
It's like, yeah,
when you see like, because, you know, they fly with their little legs, like tucked under their
yep, just
arms like this. And it was like in my face. Like,
Yeah, that's a little creepy, like, especially if you're not expecting it, but
exactly.
But otherwise, yeah, I don't mind dragonflies. I've let them, no. You know, crawl on my fingers and stuff, and they're kind of cute.
Exactly. So cool. So anyway, back to Simpsons. They also predicted in an episode titled Sweet Seymour Skinner's Badass Song. That was in 1994. That's the one where Bart gets Principal Skinner fired and Ned Flanders is principal for a day, okay. Or at least his replacement for a little bit.
Right.
Anyway, and there's in one scene, the lunch lady is seen reaching into a barrel labeled assorted horse parts. You guys may remember in 2013, traces of horse DNA were found in beef products across the UK.
Right. Yep. I had forgotten.
So
that was
10 years.
Yeah, I forgot about the horse meat problem.
Yep. And yeah, so that was a thing.
Oh.
Let guys don't eat horses.
You know, like you think about it and it's like we've had weird stuff happen every year for like the last like however many years.
Yeah.
It's just you don't really think about them. Because they happen like, you know, a year apart or something like that, where it's like 2020 has just been a constant bombardment of like, weird things. It's like, you know, it's basically like we had horse meat, swine flu, murder hornets. It's like, oh my God. How many of these can we like stack up in a row?
Seriously, just lay it on. Aliens are going to be in some part of this year.
Oh no, they're avoiding us like the plague we've got. So you know.
Oh yeah, the plague we are. So okay, so then they also predicted Disney buying Fox.
Right. Yeah, I remember that one.
In 1998, there's an episode called When You Wish Upon a Star in season 10. Mm-hmm. Homer becomes a Hollywood insider and strikes an unlikely friendship with Alec Baldwin and Kim, I'm not sure to say this, Basinger?
Okay.
Basinger?
One or
yes,
the other.
I totally snuck in a Family Guy joke in a Simpsons episode. What are you guys going to do about it? Basically, it goes on a hang gliding trip and accidentally drops in on the couple while they're hiding away from the press and starts to work for them, but eventually he gives away their location because he's Homer Simpson. He eventually gets greedy and tries to take something for a movie collection, then gets chased down by the group and Ron Howard. The whole thing ends in Homer not being allowed anywhere near celebrities and Ron Howard picking a new plot for his movie.
Right.
This episode, though, also included a sign in the front of a building that read 20th Century Fox, a division of Walt Disney Co.
Mm-hmm.
And I can show you that. Yeah, you've probably seen this circulate, you know, 1 month later.
Yep.
That was 20 years before Disney announced it was buying a large portion of 21st Century Fox.
Mm-hmm.
20 years.
20 years.
ESPN reporter, if you don't already know, or ESPN, which if you don't already know is a division of Walt Disney Co., the reporter Darren Rovell noted it and tweeted a picture of the sign of the episode when it happened. So He was like, I'm on to you.
It's nuts that Disney owns Fox. Like, I mean, The Simpsons is literally on Disney Plus right now.
Disney owns so many things.
They own
ESPN. They own ABC. Like.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they own so many things.
They own Discovery Channel, or not Discovery Channel, National Geographic.
Yeah.
So
that's why when people are like, boycott Disney, it's like, do you realize what that means?
Do you realize
you
have
to turn everything off?
You would basically have to just like throw your TV away.
Exactly. Just turn everything off. Like Disney owns everything, including you.
Yeah.
They also, this was kind of more of like a wow, this is a bizarre coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
In season 28, episode 1, Monty Burns Fleeing Circus, Monty Burns hosts like a variety show at the plant. And so they mentioned Arnold Palmer's name this is the premiere, obviously. It's season or episode 1 of the season 28. That was the day that Arnold Palmer died. They mentioned his name on the day he died.
Oh, boy.
And because basically Homer fills a squirt gun with a classic drink named after the golfer. And he says he's going to Arnold Palmer Lenny. And Marge is confused. She's like, what do you mean? And he's basically going to shoot the squirt gun full of Arnold Palmer in Lenny's face. Right.
Uh-huh.
And apparently Palmer had died that day from a heart issue that he had had surgery scheduled for the next day.
Yeah, I remember that.
And yeah, I do too. And but I thought that was like kind of interesting that like that's a really bizarre coincidence. And by that time, the episode is delivered and there is nothing they can do about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's already like scheduled to air and they can't really it's difficult to pull it at that last minute like that.
Exactly. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. But the last one I want to mention actually has a little bit more to do with current events.
Okay.
It's going to start sounding really familiar.
Yeah.
In season four, so really, really early in it,
right.
It's an episode called Margin Chains. A sick Asian worker is shown coughing on a shipment of juicers that many of the residents of Springfield are going gaga over, kicking off the Osaka flu outbreak. As people panic, they find a truck that they think has the cure inside, but instead they destroy a crate marked killer bees.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. What actually happened? Obviously, I don't have to tell you about current events we're facing in the current pandemic,
right,
or where it originated, or the fact that our Amazon shipping centers are full of, you know, potentially infected employees. It's
right,
just a fact.
Right, yep.
Also, murder hornets.
Also, I mean, murder hornets. What happened to those, by the way?
I mean, because, I mean, they technically aren't, like, a threat to humans. They're really more a threat to other bees.
Yeah.
So,
still, though, it was funny, like, that cropped up. I saw a meme today that was like, what happened to the murder hornets? And the reply was, oh, that was a filler episode.
Exactly. Exactly. And what I do want to say, too, about the changing news cycle and stuff, because I have seen people complaining about, like, well, what happened to COVID if there's
right.
all these, you know, protests and stuff that, like, guys, if we told you how to live every day, we would never stop talking. There's a point where you have to be an adult.
You have to take care of yourself.
Yeah. Understand that life continues, even though we haven't told you that life is still continuing on, you know,
yeah.
TV. So just wash your hands, wear your mask,
yeah.
stay away from each other. Like, okay. So anyway, I'm just off that soapbox. But anyway, defense, though, from the writers about this episode, one of the writers, Billy Oakley, actually responded to this conspiracy theory because he didn't like people pointing out to the episode as a predictor of the pandemic, saying that the Hollywood Reporter, quote, the idea that anyone misappropriates it to make it seem coronavirus, or make coronavirus seem like an Asian plot is terrible. So, yeah, so the episode makes it look deliberate.
Right.
But it was not, obviously, this was not deliberate.
No,
this was
obviously not.
It was deliberate by parties that had no, you know,
right.
had more control over it than the people that were blaming.
Right,
so
right, right.
That some people are blaming. Anyway, so more predictions, though, that in other episodes. There's an Apple Watch and a video conferencing are predicted in the episode Lisa's Wedding, which has a ton of other technological predictions, but those two have come to fruition now.
Mm-hmm.
They also predicted the Siegfried and Roy tiger attack.
Yeah,
they
used
different names.
That one.
They used different names in the episode, and the tiger attacked both of them, but this was several years before Roy was attacked by one of his tigers, mm-hmm. an injury that ended his career.
Yeah.
They also predicted the U.S. winning the Olympic gold medal in curling in 2010, season 21, episode 12, Boy Meets Curl. Homer and Marge beat Sweden to take home the Olympic gold medal for Team USA for mixed match curling.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little different. What actually happened 8 years later, the men's team won the gold against Sweden
right.
in real life. So it wasn't mixed match, but
it was still America beat win. Sweden. Yeah,
exactly. And the third place was different in the show versus what was
gotcha.
What actually happened. But at least America did beat Sweden.
Right.
There's also this is kind of interesting. This is a really fun one. There's a football centric episode that came out a week before the Super Bowl 26, where Lisa correctly predicted the Washington Redskins would win the game. The following year, the writers predicted, or they decided to dub the names of that year's competing teams into the rerun,
mm-hmm.
and they were once again correct with their call of the Cowboys taking home the ring.
Oh my God.
They continued to do that for consecutive years with mixed results. They weren't always right, but they wrapped up the joke the last time with a prediction of the San Francisco 49ers over the Chargers with Super Bowl 29.
Mm-hmm.
Faulty voting machines, they also predicted.
Yep,
in
I remember
the
that one.
In a 2008 episode, Homer goes to a voting booth with a touch screen and tries to cast his vote for Obama, but the screen will only select Mitt Romney.
Yep.
4 years later, again and again and again, we've seen this a bunch, but specifically in 2010, a voting machine proved faulty when votes cast for Barack Obama went directly to Mitt Romney instead. So 4 years prior, they did predict this would
yep,
happen.
I remember that, too.
Now, I'm going to kind of wrap this one up. Those are all of my, at least the ones I wanted to touch on, because mm-hmm. there are obviously 30 plus.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, there's
they just
so
go
many.
Back and back and back.
They just keep happening.
I don't want to be sued for libel. I'm just reporting what I've found. In fact, most of the places that have been reporting this are tabloids, so I do take this with a little bit of a grain of salt, but I might ruin The Simpsons for you a little bit.
Right.
Just a little bit.
Okay.
We typically approach conspiracies on this podcast with a curiosity about the creativity we use to explain things we don't understand.
Right.
However, there's something I remember during my research that popped up last year that might be worth mentioning.
Okay.
toward the beginning of my portion of the episode, I posed the question, why was Groening right all the time? Were these people inspired by his predictions, or did he have some kind of inside knowledge?
Right, right.
Simpsons creator Matt Groening and Jeffrey Epstein were buddies.
No, they were not.
There were multiple accounts of Groening and the infamous plane, including accounts of a sex slave discussing Groening's crusty toenails and how she was going to throw up when she saw them. Now, most major networks didn't pick this up. Like I said, this is mostly tabloids.
Right.
You'll find most of the info in it in tabloids.
Okay.
So I'm taking this with a grain of salt. But it's kind of, considering everything that has happened on The Simpsons and the fact that there apparently has a ledger that he was on the plane.
Yeah. And the fact that, like, you know, the Jeffrey Epstein sex ring has ties to, like, the Illuminati and stuff like that. It's like
Trump became president. Yeah. I mean,
and I mean, we talked in the Project Pegasus episode how mm-hmm. they said that Trump was going to be president, mm-hmm. you know, so it's like, and Project Pegasus, remember, if you'll remember, was government time travel.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. And that one predicted Trump being president like mm-hmm. 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. So.
And then there's also that book that has, you know, from the 1800s yeah. that has it word for word down Baron to Baron.
Trump. Yep.
Like, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. So it's concerning.
It's a little. I don't know what to say about it. I really don't.
I don't like that.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
So maybe Groening is like a time traveler, or maybe he's just privy to the information because he's part of this reptilian elite society.
Maybe. Oh, maybe he's a reptile.
They all, you know, she didn't like his toenails,
so maybe. Yeah?
They're all connected. All of these things are connected. That'll be our final episode someday in the future. Like the series finale
Everything
of Conspiracies and Cryptids, as we come back and say, by the way, all of these conspiracy theories, here's how they're connected. This is a special 2-hour long episode where we just tell you how these are all connected.
This is a simulation. None of it matters. Everybody just power down. Like, oh my God.
Take the red pill. Man. Take the red pill.
That's how it feels sometimes though, man.
Right. But.
Well, that's all I got about The Simpsons. I don't want to be sued anymore for libel. I think that's as much as I've been able to afford.
That was fun. I've wanted to, like, talk about that one, or at least, like, discuss it a little bit for a while, because it's such a popular one that pops up online all the time, especially with how often they predict the future accurately. It's just it's a little too often to just be brushed aside as, like, a coincidence.
You 30 know, times in 30 seasons,
yeah,
at least, with 600 episodes, I feel like there's probably even more than we're, like, totally missing. It's like, I want to go back and watch every episode of The Simpsons and see what I can find.
You can now watch it on Disney Plus, which is like a $7 a month, $7 a month subscription fee.
I'm off to go waste the 5 minutes I have every day.
There you go. But yeah, it's just, it's interesting, and it's funny and ironic and coincidental, and yeah, that many coincidences in a row, it's hard to ignore it, you know.
It really is. So. It really is. But, you know, when they tell stories about the American family, you know, we're pretty predictable people.
That is true.
So anyway, I think that's what's coming down to the end of our episode.
It is.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. Oh. So, you know, we wanted to say thank you once again to everybody for listening. We're sorry that we're cutting the season a little bit short.
Yeah.
But you know, we hope that you guys will understand and that you'll stick around. We have stuff planned, you know, to surprise you guys with and excite you with. So, you know, keep your ears and eyes peeled. We will be, you know, we will still be around, and we'll be back.
We're not gone forever.
Yeah. And like I said, we'll be back on our regular schedule August 1st. You know, and I'll just be the showrunner at the time. Yeah, you know, just keep us in your ear holes. Keep spreading us around.
Like jam.
Or butter.
Ear butter. Gross. Thank you for that.
Thanks.
Gross.
Ear butter.
Ew. Okay, we're going to go now that we've left you with that moist description. I'm just going to just tank the end of this episode.
Yep. Thanks for listening. Check us out on our social media, everything at CryptoPod. Check out our Patreon, you know, if you can donate, we'd appreciate it, but obviously it's not required, you know, that's just if you're able to.
Absolutely. We love you guys, and stay safe, and keep washing your hands. Keep telling your neighbors you love them.
Mm-hmm.
And check in with somebody. Pick three people that you don't normally talk to and shoot them a text.
Yes,
today.
That's a good one.
And just a person. Just pick three people this week. Shoot them a text. Just, hey, how's it going?
Just check in on your friends and family.
Just check in.
Because,
you know, sometimes I hear from people I haven't heard from in a long time, and I'm just like, oh. That was cool.
Yeah.
And they weren't ex-boyfriends either. Like, you know.
But.
Oh, gosh. Okay, guys. Don't forget to stay awesome. And
Big Brother is watching.
Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Conspiracies and Cryptids with Sammy and Tessa. Don't forget to check out our website, www.conspiraciesandcryptids.com, for more episodes and other information.
And if you're really enjoying what we're doing, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/cryptipod. That's CRYPTIPOD. There you can find different ways to support us and get some awesome goodies along the way.
While you're at it, you can also find us on all of your favorite social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. That's any one of those at Cryptipod.
And if you're enjoying our podcast, please think about leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. Leave us 5 stars and a nice little blurb about why you like us. It helps us to gain some traction and find some new listeners.
And while you're at it, don't forget to tell your friends, because our friends are your friends.
And don't forget, Big Brother is watching.